Hey, Doc Baby, did you see those BAC videos that got posted?
Oh, the BAC videos, those are incredible. Did you see Yuki's?
Yeah, dude, I sure did.
Oh man, that part in the beginning, that first trick where he took the yo-yo and he and then the went around with the and then he stalled it on his wasn't that just insane?
That was off the hook. I don't understand why that stuff keeps getting beeped, though. I mean, it was just
Shalicto, Doc Popular, Yo Yo Radio Podcast on Yo Yo Radio. Hey, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Yo Yo Wiki Wiki Podcast. I'm Dr. Popular in San Francisco. And of course, in Minneapolis, we have Josh Parkular. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. So we had kind of a different show last week. You weren't with us, Doc. You were working on the vloggies or something like that. And Ed filled.
I was crazy busy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Ed Hoponic. Yeah, I was looking for you. Did you happen to catch that show?
Ed Hoponic, what? Your last show?
Yeah.
No, I would have loved to, but I've been busy pretty much every minute until right now.
All right.
So didn't get a chance to. But Ed Hoponic was on the show?
Yeah, he co-hosted with me, and it was a good show, and we talked to Boxtor, and you know, it was a good show altogether.
So Boxtor, even though it has the H.
I don't know. Boxtor.
I'm just asking. I mean, you talked to him. I'm sure that was your first question.
I don't even know what his real name is, so.
So, guest, first question, what is your name?
So, Boxy.
Who are you?
What are you doing on this podcast?
What's a good question to ask you?
Give me some information so I can further probe into your life.
So, your life, would you say it's interesting? What makes it that way? So, okay, so last week you had Boxtor and Ed Hoponic on there, which, I mean, Ed Hoponic, every time I hear his name, I think of Dr. Robotnik from Mega Man.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Not Mega Man.
And I can't. Oh, from what?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay. But sort of a similar kind of mad scientist-y character with robots.
Yeah, definitely.
And in particular, robots that he sits in and they have arms and stuff. Well, legs and. Okay, so yeah, I always think of that. I always have a hard time always not thinking. I mean, that might be his real name. Is Hoponic his real name?
Yeah.
Ah, well, that's neat.
Yeah.
So you guys had a good show. It was an experimental show. Free form, not the tight, rigid scripts that we usually have.
Probably not. That's true.
So speaking of the scripts, the last week has been busy for me. Has it been busy for you?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy for me. I went to Illinois this past weekend with a stop off down in Iowa, so that took up my entire weekend.
You went. You also went to Chicago as well as Illinois.
They're very much the same place generally.
No. Pretty much not. I mean, technically, yeah. But you know, really, Chicago is on that one little corner. It could just easily just secede and be like the Washington D.C. of the Midwest.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I did spend a lot of time in not Chicago. We were at Dylan's parents' house in. How come I can't think of the name of the town now? I think it was called Bumblefuck, and it was. It was amazingly small. We were walking through the town, and Dylan was like pointing at every single person he saw, and telling us who they were. It was amazing.
Well, that's cool. So it was a big field trip. Who won the events that you were at? There was only one event, right? It wasn't two.
Right. It was just one event. The Illinois State Championship, Mr. Dave Poisner won the open division, and Kyle Pearson won the single A division.
That's neat. Yeah, can I tell you that the Illinois State contest was the first contest that I ever entered?
Really? That must have been 99?
Yeah, something like that. It was, because I judged and ran a few contests, but we heard about the Illinois State contest, and I was living in St. Louis at the time, so it must have been like 2000 or later, but I was living in St. Louis, and we took a road trip. Oh, you know, I'm confusing the two things. No, that's right. We took a road trip from Minneapolis to Chicago, or from St. Louis to Chicago, yeah, to Minneapolis, back down to St. Louis. So the two contests, one was on a Saturday, one was on a Sunday. The Saturday contest was in a mall, and Kyle from Extreme Spin was there. Can I say Extreme Spin?
Yeah.
So anyway, Kyle was talking about how much he loved working with Rich and said for the rest of his life he would probably work for Rich. He just loves Rich to death, and nothing would ever change that, and he would never say anything about that that would be different. So that was pretty much the entire contest, was Kyle talking about how he loved working for Extreme Spin. And then we went to Minneapolis for the Midwest Regionals. So that was my first contest. Was and I remember it was my first time ever enduring or doing a freestyle like that. And I guess I got first. I can't remember, but I think I got first or something, because I remember afterwards, like, I felt like really happy, and all these asshole parents came up to me and said, you know, you really shouldn't enter a contest like this with all these kids or whatever. And it was like my first contest ever, and it totally, like, it was kind of this tainted prize or whatever, like I won, but at the same time all these parents thought that, like, I was a professional or something, which at the time I wasn't really. It was my first contest, as I keep saying.
You'd been yo-yoing for a ridiculously short amount of time at that point, right?
Yeah, but I mean, as long as their kids had, probably.
Yeah,
you know, as long as the boom had been going. So they were just really mean parents, you know. Their kids got beat by what they saw as an adult. And at the time, I guess at the time what was different was being an adult meant that you were really good at things and kids were kids at things. And there was still age divisions for a lot of contests. You know, the adult division and the kids division, which is, like, ridiculous to think about now, because, like, any 30-year-old going against an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old is going to get his ass whooped. But at the time, you know, the perception was different. So you did you get to talk to Kyle on this trip?
Nope, he didn't come to the contest.
Rich? Did you talk to Rich?
Yeah, I talked to Rich a little bit.
Man, that sucks that Kyle didn't come out.
Yeah, that's 2 years in a row that he hasn't made it to his own state contest.
That's pretty freaky. He lives really close by.
Yep. Yeah, that actually really frustrated me. It just really frustrated me. Like, I, you know, all these cats spend so much time on the Extreme Spin forum and supporting the store and stuff like that, and he can't even come out to his own state contest. But I don't know. That's just me bitching.
I'm sure if you guys would have said, "Look, I'm doing a thumb grind," when you were actually doing an inner ring grind, mm-hmm, I'm sure he would have showed up. Somehow he always finds out whenever you call it a thumb grind, and it's like a it's like every time you hear the bell ring, that means an angel has got her wings. It's sort of the same thing like that. Every time you hear thumb grind, Kyle will come and correct you. It's just amazing. I've found him on all sorts of different forums.
Yeah,
and he'll be like, it's not a thumb grind. He'll, like, sign up to things. Just, you know, I'm not talking trash, because I love Kyle just like Kyle loves Extreme Spin. And my love for Kyle will never change, just like Kyle's love for Extreme Spin will never change.
Wow. So, moving on. You did something last week. Let's talk about that. You posted something on instructables.com that was very informative and interesting. Why don't you tell us about it?
If you go to instructables.com, which I love that site. Again, that unwavering love. If you go to Instructables.com and just like search for yo-yo, you'll see a couple of my different projects. And my newest one is how to mod a yo-yo jam yo-yo. And specifically, I tackle how to mod a bolt yo-yo, because basically I wanted to, people order, you know, modified bolts for my site, and I don't mind, you know, I charge them more for that or whatever, but I always sort of feel that if people modified them themselves or got an idea of how easy it was to modify them, you know, that they would actually be happier with the end product. And if they didn't want them sanded, for instance, they wouldn't have to sand them. So I posted an Instructable on that with 5 different steps, and Drew and you actually helped me kind of edit it, because my self-editing skills are atrocious. But the pictures and the shots are all really good, right?
Yeah, they're really tight. Did you have a professional do those?
Yeah.
Oh, those are good.
No, come on. Well, thank you. But what I did was basically the same way that you do, like a a white screen you and I know about this because we've done this a lot, where you take just like a couple, you know, big white pieces of paper or poster board, and you put them on the wall, and instead of having like a hard angle where the wall meets the table, you sort of just let it bend, and it gives you this illusion of kind of like this whiteness that goes on forever. And for taking pictures, it's really useful. And so I just kind of did that. I just draped some extra denim that Kia gave me, and took the shots in the same place where I take all my whiteboard shots, with just, you know, the daylight coming in through the window and another light coming in through the other side. But I really want to try to get people to go to that place. If you've ever wondered about how to modify, you know, yo-yo jam, how to do the silicone, how to clean a bearing, how to sand it, you know, it's all there, and you can skip any steps if you just want to clean your bearing but you don't want to do silicone or whatever. And I forgot that I was actually going to add in some alternatives. For instance, if you didn't want to do silicone, I was going to show you how to cut your O-rings down. But didn't have a razor blade when I wrote that, so I'll have to go back in. But any feedback is appreciated. And again, the website is instructables.com, or you can just go to drpopular.blogspot.com, and it's probably the top entry there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reading some of the comments here on it right now, and I gotta say, it's funny. Sergeant Waffles asks, "When did yo-yoing become a sport?" And you reply March 10th, 1977, which I believe is your birthday?
That's correct. That is when the sport of yo-yoing was born. And Mr. Waffles, poor guy, didn't catch that. he didn't catch the sarcasm in there. So he just responded like, "Oh, great, what's next? Chess is a sport?"
Yeah.
There is the users on Instructables are reasonably bright people, and they're not the sort of people that for instance, Dig or YouTube kind of brings out. You know, they're very helpful. Well, I guess Dig isn't as bad as Boing Boing, but they're very helpful people usually. Mm-hmm. There's kind of like a friendly comment policy, but occasionally you'll just get these people that just they just can't enjoy something. For instance, we put up this thing called Boobs in a Box How To on Instructables, and it was a complete obvious parody of Dick in a Box, the Saturday Night Live skit, and it was totally obvious. I mean, almost word for word, just replacing like Dick with boobs, and you know, whatever, right? And people were posting, "You just ripped this off from Justin Timberlake," you know, just like really, wow, great. Like, "You caught me. I'm gonna quit the site now." And I would reply. You know, I try not to reply, because if you're dealing with stupid people, it's never gonna go well. But I was just so tempted to reply when someone was just so obviously like accusing you of stealing something that you're actually obviously stealing. And so I would just be like, "Great, you win a cookie," and they'd be like, "More like Dr. Poopular," and they'd be like, "Fine, no cookie." So had a good time.
Now, I was going to comment on my favorite photograph, but it looks like you took that one down.
I didn't take it down. You probably took it down. It's very easy to take the photos down on this when you're doing a collab. Like when anytime Drew would edit, a photo would disappear. So tell me what's missing. I'll put it up.
The one that shows the all the items that you used to do this mod.
Okay, that would have been 3, probably. No, 4. That would be step four. You're talking about the shot with all the different things in front and then in the background you see. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. So
there you, it is. Yep. It is on step four. I didn't see it. Displayed prominently right in the middle as a tube of is that rubber cement?
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Okay, fine.
I thought you knew which one I would be talking about, but
I did, and I thought it was literally missing. The one you're talking about, I went to the store and I bought some stuff. At the time of creating the Instructables, I wasn't quite as picky on which sort of silicone to use as I am now. Now I totally only use flowable silicone for windshield and glass sealer, but at the time, I was just like, any sort of sticky thing will work. And so I put in this stuff.
So in this week difference from when you took the pictures and when you posted them.
Yeah. And actually what had happened was this batch that you see, I actually made for Kia, for BAC. That's why it's like a blue jean background and everything. And I put this stuff in there. And then the next day, you know, I go to check it out, like, and to go wipe off the excess silicone. And it's like rock hard. And so I've been playing around with the idea of doctoring the photo, because I've doctored other photos for Instructables to make users happy. And so I might try to, you know, Photoshop in, you know, the correct tube. But that's why that's not the predominant picture in that set. Otherwise, it's accurate. You've got the silicones, the yo-yos, the bearings, the syringe. It's all good if you just ignore the Bond 527, which, I mean, I specifically say which brand to get in the top anyway. So anyway, you know, you can – well, lots of people like this. That's good.
Yeah. I posted up on the Dig. Didn't get anywhere.
Yeah, you know, Dig's a crazy beast like that. You know what you need to do?
What?
Okay. I'll write Dig a cease and assist on this Instructable. Okay. And then it'll become huge.
Okay. After they take it down?
After they take it down, you could be like, why did Dig censor my Instructable Dig? And bam, hit. Instant hit.
Yeah, that's a good plan. But dude, when you were at my house last week, you replaced some silicone in a bolt that you'd modded for me last year. And this thing is playing like a dream. And you also fixed a silicone job that I did in an Underdog yo-yo. And that thing is playing like
better than it ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had that well so deep before that you literally had to put two friction stickers on top of each other.
Right.
And it's perfect for silicone. Right. Just perfect. I just wish it was done on both sides.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I'm glad that you like those. One of the things that I figured out right before I went over to your house was the method of, like, I used to use my finger to do the silicone, and your finger kind of dips in a little bit, so in theory it sort of recesses. But what I found actually works even better is if you actually overpour the silicone and take a business card, put it flush on the surface of the yo-yo, and when you scoop it around, as the silicone builds up on the top, it sort of sucks out silicone from underneath too. So, like, in front of the card, in the direction that you're moving, in front of the card, you'll have like a big pile of silicone kind of gathering up on the card. But on the underside of the parts that you just went over with your silicone, it's actually going to be concaved. It's actually, you know, pulling extra silicone. It's not like perfectly flush. It's kind of pulling it up on top. It's just works awesome. So I got to, after I kind of figured that out with these yo-yos, after, you know, removing all the plastic cement, then I got to do that on yours. So yours was actually kind of the first, like, really smooth, perfect one that I'd done.
Sweet. Good deal. And that leads us up to my favorite part of the show. And you know what that is, Doc?
The part where we talk about how great Josh is.
No. Now it's time. Name that yo-yo.
Name that yo-yo.
Was there harmony there? I can't tell.
In your head, there was. It was an implied harmony.
Good deal. So I'm going to start off here. This is a yo-yo I got this past weekend because, quite frankly, I'm running out of yo-yos for Name That Yo-Yo. So if you've got a yo-yo you want to send me, you can definitely do so.
Are you talking to the listener in general?
Yeah, just in general. If you've got a yo-yo laying around that you're not using, send it my way, especially yo-yo jams. I have no yo-yo jams, so that's just a tip, you know. So here we go. Whoop, dang it.
Duncan. I just heard it mess up right away, so I'm...
All right. Can you hear that at all? No.
I would say no. You're not still using our microphone, are you? Your headset microphone?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Adam's, it's not going to work for me.
All right. Well, this is a fixed axle, and I think that's going to be the problem. It's not making any noise.
You can just give me hints while you pretend to spin it. That's what I'm going to do. Next time I forget a yo-yo, I'm totally going to be like, it's fixed axle.
So that's what it sounds like.
Is that, can you hold the string tight and pluck the string while holding the yo-yo close to the mic?
Let me see here. Does that help you at all?
That helps a lot. Is it a doble yo-yo?
It is not a doble yo-yo.
It's probably not even wooden. Okay. So do you want to give me a clue?
It is a Duncan.
Is it a Duncan Imperial?
It is not a Duncan Imperial. This is a Duncan Satellite yo-yo.
Ooh, a Seattleite.
I don't think it's a Seattleite. Is that the same thing as a Seattleite?
The Seattleite was a joke name for the satellite.
Okay.
A satellite is a wooden yo-yo that looks like a ball with an extra ring around it, sort of like Saturn or something.
Yeah.
And the extra ring is where the string goes. So it's sort of imperial shaped. I don't know. It's hard to describe. But it's a total novelty shape. Is it an actual Duncan satellite, or is it a repro?
It's a reproduction, I'm sure.
Well, those are cool repros. Can I tell you that the first time, and I wish I could find the quote on there, but the first time I ever talked to Mr. Steve Brown online, hero to many, he actually chewed me out, and it was over a Duncan Seattleite.
Really?
I just said that I was looking for, you know, Duncan Seattleites, and I playfully said, hey, if any yo-yo collectors need money to support their crack habits, I'm looking for Duncan Seattleite. And, you know, like, total, like it's the sort of thing exactly that Steve Brown would have posted at the time or now. But Steve was on his period, and he totally, totally chewed me out. And it became this, like, six-string flame just over the most ridiculous thing, where he was saying that I was implying that all yo-yo collectors were drug users. And after all, this is a children's board, and I shouldn't mention drugs on a children's board. So that was my introduction to Steve Brown.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And the opinion hasn't changed too much since then. That was a really good introduction to him. And then after that, I found out that, you know, these yo-yos that I was looking for, and I was looking for them because I was a World's Fair collector, and they sold this Seattleite at the World's Fair for 1964. It's the only time they ever sold it. And it's a variation on the Duncan Satellite, the Duncan Seattleite is. And I found out that now that they go for like $1,000 to maybe $1,500 out of the box, you know, like used. So, you know, I feel kind of stupid now. But at the time, yeah, I was just asking. So let's do my yo-yo now. I'm going to switch over to my other internal microphone.
Okay.
Now, this is a quiet yo-yo. Is that all right?
Okay.
Okay. And it's going to be really hard to throw. Not the most practical yo-yo. As you know, I just completed a round of eBay auctions, and now that everybody's yo-yos have been shipped out to them, it's time for another batch of eBay auctions, and this is going to be up on there. I'm going to put this up here. Boy, that is so quiet. It's spinning right now. Okay. Wow. How about if I do a different yo-yo? Because that's not going to be loud enough. I was using a mini-yo world champion, the Mini Jam. The Mini Jam was made by Yo-Yo Jam. It was their first and only miniature yo-yo. Total rare piece, like solid aluminum with rubber. Very small, about the size of a quarter. And so anyway, let's do another ultra-rare yo-yo. You hear that?
Yeah. So it's ultra rare, you say?
Oh, these things are extremely rare. I can't even believe I'm selling it. FYI, my computer hatch, my hinge is just broken. And to raise money, I'm putting some of my most valued yo-yos that I swore I'd never sell onto there. So if that gives you a clue, this is probably in one of my top 10 personal collection.
Wow.
And let's hold it and whoops. I'll do one more toss for you if you need.
Okay. Sounds like such a loose and good bearing. You know, I've no idea. Is it a Mondial? Butterfly Mondial?
No. Oh, a Butterfly Mondial. No, I wish I had one of those. It is not a Butterfly Mondial. This particular yo-yo was an attack on another company. It's pretty hard.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it the mongoose?
It is the mongoose with the rubber shells that were never, ever, ever sold.
With the pro-yo rubber shells?
With the what they are is, okay. So the mongoose at the time, Tom and Danielson hated Henry's for some reason, right? And it was his pet peeve. It was his personal mission to try to totally knock down Henry's. And so he created a yo-yo called the Mongoose, which mongoose eat snakes, right?
Right.
So the viper and all that. So he created this yo-yo called the Mongoose. And the Mongoose itself was a mini yo-yo that played like crap. It was literally like shaped like a half dollar, a little nub on the side. So it had grooves for shells to go on, but it didn't ship with shells because Henry's had the patent on shells, so he couldn't sell the yo-yo with shells. So he was selling it as a miniature yo-yo, and it played terribly. It could spin for like 15 seconds before it would die. And separately, he was going to sell these shells, and the shells were Bumblebee GT shaped. They were actually from the same mold, I think, and they were rubber Bumblebee GTs that you would put onto the mongoose. And he wouldn't sell them together. He was selling these, you know, rubber rings separately that were completely unrelated to the mongoose. And you know, you would put them on, and it would be a complete yo-yo. So yeah, that's what I have in my hand is the string pilot is what he called the shells.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a good story.
Yeah, it is. It is. And he never, for whatever reason, he never went ahead and released the shells. I don't even know how I got a set. I'm trying really hard to think. I know the set that I have were dyed by Scarecrow. He dyed them a dark brown color, almost black maybe. And he totally assumed that more were coming. So he was selling his.
Huh.
And or not selling, but he gave away his. And then Duncan, or, you know, Homeboy never made it anymore. There's also three patent numbers. No, I'm sorry. There's four patent numbers engraved on the mongoose. I would assume that two of them are for the brake pads. and for the bearing setup, but I don't know what the other two would be. So I'm really curious about that now.
Huh.
And there's patent numbers on the shells themselves too, which are very similar. I could tell you the patent numbers if you're interested, and we could do a patent search or something.
I'm not interested.
Okay, next subject. As you know, like, collecting Henry's knockoffs has always been a passion of mine.
Yeah, yeah, I like those. I wanted to say Doble, but
Dubé. They're not Dubé. They're Mr. Babosh.
Mr. Babosh. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Yo-Yao and the Yo-Yogi and all those guys.
Those are terrible.
Yeah. Most Henry's knockoffs are, you know, the Zero G looked awesome, but it didn't have ball bearings. The Mongoose, the shells don't fit right. There's a bunch of terrible, terrible Henry's knockoffs.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Maker Faire. Do you know about that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Every year I hear about the Maker Faire.
Well, that's all that everybody talks about. You know, that's it. That's everybody talks about Maker Faire all year round. I'm going to be at the Maker Faire this year, teaching yo-yo workshops, and also doing a yo-yo performance on the main stage, and that's going to be in San Mateo. So if you live in the Bay Area or like San Jose or maybe even LA, and you're coming up for the Maker Faire, you should check that out. I'm also going to be doing. I'm going to be judging the World Championship Cassette Jockeying Championships. The Cassette Jockey World Championships, and this is a basically the same thing as a turntable disc jockey championship would be, like a DJ battle, except there's no turntables. It's all, you know, Walkmans or whatever, and it's all done on cassette tapes. And they're not allowed to record onto the cassette tapes, so they have to be like pre-recorded onto the cassette tapes, so you can't just like put cool music onto it. You don't like that?
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, so there's different techniques that I expect to be used under people's employ. One will be cutting tapes, splicing tapes, the same way that you splice a reel of, you know, of movie reel. You know, like
or an audio reel.
Yeah, you're going to be doing the same thing, except you're going to be doing it like to just kind of, you know, chop up like maybe the verse from the song to the chorus of another, like doing mashups, or maybe just taking, you know, like sounds and just creating a whole new BPM by the lengths that you cut them. For instance, you could take like any mixture of cassette tapes, but if you cut them all like, you know, to be half an inch or an inch of the tape each, and then glue them all together, they'll be on their own beat per minutes that they already were before. But what you'll hear are these kind of rhythmic pulsations, like every, you know, 0.5 seconds the song will change, which gives it a beat, you know, a beat. So I'm expecting to see all sorts of really cool things. It's going to be like, it's totally the thing I'm looking forward to the most at Maker Faire this year.
Neat. You know what my favorite part about Maker Faire is?
Was that?
It seems like every single person that goes to the Maker Faire is a video maker. And so it seems to be like one of the most covered events as far as like video podcasts or something like that goes. And
yeah.
Every year there's just tons of videos covering the Maker Faire. So like I can actually feel like I'm at that event because I see so much of it in the in video podcasts and stuff like that. So
I totally agree. Cool.
Yep. You made a damn fine Maker Faire video once.
Yeah, that nobody ever saw. I always expected when I put it online, I expected it to be a big deal, but put it online and nobody saw it. But, you know, this year I'm a featured judge, and it might be because of that video, so who knows. But, yeah. If you want to see the video that Josh is talking about, go to youtube.com and just search for Maker Faire or search for WTFS, all one word, which stands for where's the French shirt? Where... The French shirt. Wear the French shirt. WAR. So WTFS, as in wear the French shirt.
Yeah, WTFS. That was the first hit on there. So
Cool.
That's a cool song too. So
yeah, I like that. Awesome. I like that whole video. Save Death.
Yeah, Mr. Seth Peterson just dropped a bombshell on the forum today. He is no longer on Team Duncan or Team Infinite Illusions. He is quitting to...
say that again. Infinite.
He's quitting? Infinite Illusions?
No. Infinite Illusions.
Infinite?
Oh, that's beautiful. Infinite.
Okay.
Team Infinite Illusions. Okay, sorry.
So that he can spend more time working with Dave Poyser on their Save Death yo-yo company. So hoping to be able to talk to him tonight on the podcast about that, but he doesn't seem to be around. So
they're busy plotting their world takeover.
Yeah.
Now, when I mentioned this to you, him announcing his leaving Team Duncan, you seemed kind of unsurprised, if unsurprised is a word. I don't know if it is. Unsurprised.
This has been several months coming, and I'm pretty sure he hasn't been on Team Duncan for at least a month now, which is why they were able to put Drew Tetz on the team. Yeah, this is just his announcement of it. So,
well, that's neat. I didn't know, I tend to think that when Seth got on Team Duncan, he right away totally changed and became sort of a Duncan zombie. He was still a nice guy or whatever, but anytime you mentioned Duncan, there was always this sort of like, hey, come on, let's talk bad about Duncan. They have such history with the just totally like. Kind of defending them whenever people weren't really kind of insulting them. And when I hung up with them at the airport, I didn't really get the vibe that had changed. So I was really surprised to hear that he left Team Duncan. Apparently this is something that he finally just made the announcement of it. And, I love the Save Death guys. I can't wait to see what they get done. But, at the same time, I'm a little skeptical. I'm hoping that they'll have good products. I mean, they've already been doing mods for a while, and they've been doing the graffiti T-shirts. I really want to see kind of like a legit product from them.
Yeah, how cool would that be?
Yeah, that would be neat. I mean, they keep saying that unfortunately these people own the patent on this and these people own the patent on that. Their biggest beef seems to be with Yo-Yo Jam. Every time they want to do something, it seems that Yo-Yo Jam would be a problem for them. Like the Yo-Yo Jam would threaten a lawsuit or something. So I have no idea what they have planned, because they say it's something totally new, but they can't do it because of Yo-Yo Jam. So it can't be that new. But yeah.
Yeah, I've talked to him quite a bit about this, and I can't really talk about that.
Yeah?
I can't believe I just did that.
How's Kyle doing? Extreme Spin. I'm just really... Was there something you wanted to say about that?
Did you see that 3A video that
the one that we shot for UBT with you and me and the
shut up?
What? No, the one it was Dan filmed it.
Shut up, dude.
Okay, fine. Lots of secrets on this podcast. I'll tell you this, Josh.
The one that oh what?
Secrets,
what? What
secrets,
do we want to say?
Secrets do not a friend make.
Secrets are no fun. Secrets hurt someone. No, the 3A video that Boxtor posted of this kid, Hiroki Yamamoto.
You went nuts over that video. I heard you watching it for the first time, and you went absolutely nuts. Balls to the wall. Loved it.
The video is hardcore. I liked it a lot. You had some reservations about the actual talent of this guy as a 3A player.
Nope.
But he is sure
nope,
is...
No. I did not have reservations about his talent. His talent, I'm sure, is great. It's just not the best 3A performance ever. Like, it's not like...
Okay.
Yeah. It's amazing concepts. The guy has totally new
he's
ideas.
He's definitely a visionary. Yeah.
But unfortunately for now, he's going to have to be just a visionary and not an executor, because he misses so much stuff on the video. But it's a very inspirational video. As soon as I saw it, I totally picked up two yo-yos and started trying to do some of the stuff he was doing. Two moves that he did in all sorts of different forms that just blew me away. But for the most part, you know, he tended to miss a lot of his stuff in the rest of his freestyle, including things that he was doing from these moves. So he'd be doing the move successfully, but then he'd try to use them to mount something, and it never happened. But what was your favorite part of it? You were just screaming while you were watching the video.
You know, it was the part close to the end where he does the, you know, where the yo-yos loop around each other and then drops it into a, but then he was doing the suicide, and he lands it, and it's amazing.
Well, he was doing stuff like he would have the yo-yos kind of looped around each other like a Mach 5 or something, and he would let the string friction of one yo-yo remove the loop around that yo-yo and almost kind of throw it off in a way that it would throw the loop off so fast that it would go all the way around the other yo-yo, you know, pivot around its center, and then loop again. It would like, so basically just friction dismounting into a whip back onto the same spot it just started. Beautiful.
Right.
And then the ending trick, he goes behind the back, and everybody went nuts when he went behind the back. But then after he goes behind the back and whips the yo-yos, he pulls them, and he does two gyroscopic flops in different motions.
Yes.
Beautiful. I don't know if that was on purpose. It looked fully controlled. It was amazing.
Yep. Yep, I agree. Oh, to be that good at yo-yoing.
He's okay. He's good. I wasn't talking trash about him. I just didn't think it was the best freestyle ever in 3A. Paul, any of Paul's freestyles, I think, would have knocked him out of the water in terms of landing things. And I was wondering that back and forth like thing that he was doing where the yo-yos would loop around each other one way and then unwind and loop the other way. I was wondering if those were based on a trick of Paul's. I think they kind of were, but Paul would only go like one rotation each. And this guy was like, they were like wrapping up like three times and then unwrapping and then wrapping up three times the other way.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. And that's that definitely seems like it's based on something Paul does. I've seen that Paul do that before.
So if you haven't seen the video, go go to yayoing.com/news and just look for Boxy's post. I think it's called the best 3A video ever. And it's you know, it's fine. So
So censoring music at a yo-yo contest.
Well, earlier in the show for our intro, we sort of did a mock of censorship or of redacting things. And that's just because in general, in the yo-yo world right now, there's been talk about Yuki's freestyle being censored in terms of like, don't post this freestyle or whatever. And then there's also talks about like, well, why don't the Japanese do this? Well, it turns out the Japanese don't show most of their videos because they're non-copyrighted music. And actually, speaking of that 3A video, when we're listening to it, when we're watching it here, the music is overlaid. It's like you hear like this guy introduce him, and all of a sudden there's like really good quality music coming in through the speakers, which you have to assume was done in the post-editing phase. So in Japan, I guess they're totally not allowing performers to use copyrighted music now, or they're just saying don't put these musics or these videos up if the music's not copyrighted. Do you know?
I'm not sure. It's definitely one of the two.
Here's what it is. For now, because I remember Hiro's post. For now, they're allowing anybody to use any music, but it can't be posted if it's copyrighted. And they're probably going to switch over in a year to not allowing anybody to not use copyrighted music. Which is really depressing. I remember in the 80s when getting played on the radio was like the reward itself, or having people use your song. Like it wasn't like, oh, somebody bought my album and they're using it now, so that's one album sell or whatever. It was like, oh, so many people are going to hear this now. And it was always kind of like a cool thing to have your music played live. And it's sort of heartbreaking to see that wiped out. You know, with all the changes that are coming in our, you know, new economy or whatever, it's a shame to think of nobody ever being able to, you know, use a music from a CD again to be able to just, you know, do a juggling routine or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that is weird. What do you think about that that Yuki thing and wanting his freestyle censored?
I didn't think, you know, he can ask, go ahead and And, you know, I think I would respect that if I was a filmmaker. But I didn't think people talking about it was all that bad. It seemed to me that there was more reaction to people's reactions than there was to Yuki actually asking this thing or telling people not to put his video up. And, you know, some people said that when you go to a yo-yo contest, you sign away your rights to your freestyle. It can be used for anything. And that's not true. It's true at Worlds because you literally sign a piece of paper saying it can be used for anything. But at BIC, they don't sign such a contract. It's not understood when you're appearing in public that you're giving away all your rights to something. But it is understood by most yo-yoers that if you're trying to keep a freestyle public before, or if you're trying to keep a freestyle secret before you're going to Worlds, you just don't do it. And
right,
Mickey does freestyles before Worlds, and he might not want people to see him. But I mean, I can almost guarantee you they're not the same things he's doing at Worlds. Or even if he is, the judges aren't necessarily the same. There's just so many U.S. judges at the World Yoga Contest, and so many of those guys specifically are at BAC, and he doesn't want them to see his freestyle twice. Not just the players, but the judges. So really, if you want to keep your freestyle secret, don't do it. You can go ahead and ask, see how far that gets you. Nothing wrong with asking. But there's nothing wrong with people saying, well, I think that's kind of outlandish, you know, if you're going to be on stage doing a public freestyle.
Yeah.
There's nothing saying I can't film you.
Yep. I got to say, as a filmmaker, if I was there, I probably would have filmed it and put it online.
Just to spite him?
Not just to spite him, but because that's there it is, you know, and it's not that big of a deal. I think it is. I think it's making too big of a deal out of that situation.
It definitely does make a bigger deal out of it than you know, had it been the other way. But I guess it's worked for him thus far. Like nobody has seems to have posted it. However, I imagine if anybody did post it, it would be the most sought after video, just because he asked not to, you know.
Yep, because it's the bigger deal because he brought it up.
Now, that being said, I heard by two players that his freestyle at BAC could be the single best single A freestyle ever done.
Yeah, I've heard very, very hyperbolic things about that freestyle, too.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I just noticed that the freestyles from Illinois States are up on YouTube, so you can check those out, including Dave Poyser's first place freestyle. So,
And speaking of videos, did we mention the vlog deathmatch?
We talked about it a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't talked to you about it yet.
Well, let's quickly just talk about this. Irina Slutsky, Irina Slutsky, and myself just did a new video. We did a video together called "Boobs in a Box," and that was a big kind of YouTube phenomenon. Like a lot of people saw it. It's not a great video. She's a terrible singer. She's like a news reporter primarily. So her doing these sort of things is like kind of like fun, like seeing your English teacher do, you know, a rap video or whatever. And last week we entered this thing called the Vlog Deathmatch, which is VLOGDeathmatch.com, Vlog Deathmatch. And they always have certain challenges. And this week's challenge was to create a music video. And it was, you know, issued out to all these big time vloggers, video bloggers. And 20 entries came in, which is the biggest response they'd ever gotten. And most of the entries, if not all of the entries, were just, I thought, really, like, they put in a lot of work. They were mostly lip-synced to old songs, like Video Killed the Radio Star or whatever. But they were just heavily edited, and some people actually did their own animation and stuff. We did an original song where Irina rapped and I did the music, and I helped her out with a lot of the lyrics. And if you go to vlogdeathmatch.com, under the top post currently, where all the voting is, you can just look for Irina, click on that, and you can watch the video. And
you can also vote twice for that one.
Yeah, you can vote twice, or you can vote once for us, once for your second favorite thing or whatever. There's one from China that's really good, really good editing. But anyway, we did a lot of work on our video, and I would at least like it if everybody kind of checked it out. And keep in mind, she's not trying to be a professional rapper. This is just her just having fun. And you know, the music I thought is pretty good, despite the fact that she's not a good rapper. And
I think the music is great, and I think this is so superior to the Boobs in the Box thing. I mean, her singing. I mean, maybe it's the lip sync on that one is just bugs me so much. But I thought this one was just a billion times better with her singing, the syncing. I mean, just the video in general, just so much better.
Well, we learned from the other video. We actually had about as much time to do this one as we did the other one. So it's amazing that they turned out like so different. But I told her after that one, I was like, you know, I'm really glad you guys had me for this thing, and it's become huge, but I don't ever want to do another parody for you guys, at least no time soon. Parody music is not what I want to be known for. And so it was really fun to do original music with her, and then she didn't have to try to sing. She could rap or whatever, and she's got this funny Jersey accent. She doesn't talk with it at all, but anytime she starts to sing or whatever, oh, it just totally comes out. It's hilarious. So vlogdeathmatch.com, and you can feel free to vote. Make sure you check out some of the other videos, though.
Particularly the one by Chuck Olson, who's my local homeboy here for the vloggers.
Yeah,
I thought his video was pretty darn good. Have you seen his documentary by chance?
No, I haven't heard of him.
Vlogumentary. His entry for it actually links to his vlogumentary movie on Google Video. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't.
Gotcha.
But I think it's on Google Videos. You can just Google vlogumentary. Or no, it's blogumentary. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Apparently. So, baby, I think this has been a fantastic episode.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah? You think so?
Yeah.
Aw, that's so sweet. Sure. Well, Josh, it's been good talking to you. I'm sorry I missed last week. You know, I've been offered a new job that requires a lot of travel. So I might miss future episodes, or who knows, I might be up in Minneapolis to do an episode with you. But, woo-hoo. Yeah.
All right. Well, good. It was good talking to you, Doc. We'll hopefully talk to you next week. Until then, keep editing.
Oh, yeah. YoYoWiki.org. Right? Okay.
Right. All right.
Good, good. So I somebody's supposed to be coming here real soon to